sets up, looks, throws toward the corner of the end zone, and it's intercepted! Intercepted! The Ducks have the ball! Head of the 35, the 40, Kenny Wade's here to score!
Thomas already got a crease. There he goes, and there he goes. He's off. 94 yards on the opening play. Touchdown.
Play fake, Harris just goes hard right down the field for the home run. Got Parker. He's in a foot race. They won't catch him. Touchdown, Ducks.
Welcome to another episode of the Duck Pod. I'm Austin Meek here with Ryan Thorburn, Ducks beat writer for the Register Guard. We're joined on the podcast today by Jacob Thorpe from the Spokesman Review. He covers Washington State. We're getting ready for the Cougars and the Ducks on Saturday. Jacob, thanks for joining us. So what's the mood in Pullman here? I guess there's some parallels for these two teams and how the seasons have started. High expectations for the Cougars. Lose that first game at home to Eastern Washington, and now coming off a bye, they're trying to get things rolling. They sort of looking like this is a chance to maybe hit the reset button on a season that's been kind of a tough start for them.
Yes, well, I'm sure you guys and the Duck fans would recognize the sense of tension that seems to be present in Pullman right now. It's definitely a back against the wall game, just like the Ducks need to win. The Cougars certainly do, because they've got a really rough stretch coming up, and this looks like a winnable game. They've got to travel to Stanford afterwards, then they've got to host UCLA. They've got to travel to Tempe, which has just never been an easy game for them. If they don't beat the Ducks on Saturday, it's pretty easy to see how this season could sort of spiral out of control for them. So they certainly need to win. I think they know that. They spent extra time during the bye week really prepping for Oregon in this game. But as far as the general mood around the team, right now you're actually seeing a little bit of relief. They've gotten some good news recently on some players who were having some legal issues, some very prominent players. And so the fans right now have been a little distracted from the 1-2 start by the realization that they're going to get some starters back, that the team is not going to be torn apart by these legal issues that have been following him for the last month or so. So there's some relief there, but mostly I think there's a realization that this is a really, really big game and the Cougars need to win against a team that's obviously got a lot of talent.
Jacob, is there still tension between Mike Leach and the police department, or has some of the results of the investigations kind of has that subdued somewhat? What's kind of the situation with that?
Well, it would be easy to see that the fact that the prosecutors have declined to press charges against some of these athletes, or at least against Shalom Luani, after the police did recommend second-degree assault charges, you'd think that the coaching staff would feel a little vindication there, especially since Leach came out and publicly said, hey, my guy was jumped, he didn't assault anybody. The police sort of disagreed, but then the prosecutor actually sided with Mike Leach, so you think he's probably feeling pretty good about that. That said, I think he really does want to build a bridge between the department and the athletic department, sort of repair that relationship. I do think that steps have been taken in that manner. I think they're really going to try and do a lot of things, such as having the chief come in and talk to the players at the start of each season, and really try and kind of repair those relationships. I think that process has been started. And he's certainly going out of his way right now not to gloat or anything. When he's been asked about the prosecutor's decision, he's made sure not to throw the police under the bus or anything like that. So I'm sure that they've noticed that, and they probably appreciate it.
Your paper did a really thorough look at some of the off-field issues that have arisen since Mike Leach has been in Pullman, and obviously just recently that has garnered a lot of headlines. What's the feeling, I guess, toward Washington State fans about Mike Leach and the program that he's running? You know, are fans sort of getting tired of some of this stuff, or do they agree with Mike Leach? Do they feel like maybe the program's gotten singled out and been the subject of some unfair scrutiny? How are the fans feeling about this?
Well, Austin, perhaps more than any other Pac-12 or even major conference university, Washington State fans went to Washington State. It's not a program that has a lot of, bandwagoners. They haven't had the kind of success that just breeds all these fans on the other side of the state who have no connection to the university except they like the uniforms and they like a winning team. And I think they want to get there with Mike Leach, but they're not there yet. So where I'm going with that is that most of these fans have a relationship with the Pullman Police Department themselves. They're alumni. It's a small town, and I've been getting emails throughout this process from fan after fan who says, you know, I got my first MIP when I was walking through town, and I hadn't had a drink, but the cops didn't believe me, even though it was 3 p.m. on a Thursday. So I certainly think that a lot of the fan base is siding with the players and with the coaches over the cops, because a lot of them have these sort of preconceived notions about the Pullman Police themselves. Now, there's always the situation where when a coach starts off 1-2, he doesn't get as long of a leash from the fan base. And you certainly saw some initial pushback to his comments about the Pullman Police Department, especially the comments he made the day before, where he sort of threw his players under the bus a little bit, questioned their toughness, questioned their football intelligence. I don't think that sat particularly well with the fan base. But once Leach really sort of rallied around his players and said, no, these guys are getting their names dragged through the mud unfairly, I'm going to stick by them, I think the fan base actually really reacted very positively to that.
Jacob, when the rest of us go to Pac-12 Media Days, obviously we enjoy the Mike Leach show and getting quotes about Geronimo or whatever he wants to riff on. And he's usually in a good mood, obviously, all the coaches are at that point in the season. And it's kind of a fun, you know, must record interview with Mike Leach in terms of the national media or the Pac-12 media. But I'm just curious, what's it like being the beat writer for Mike Leach? It seems like that might be a lot more difficult of a task. I guess, what's it like? What's your relationship like with Mike Leach?
Well, it is a positive relationship, and for considering how much he doesn't really like information to be out there, whether it's about depth charts, injuries, anything like that, he is pretty good about letting you come in and watch a little bit of film, or sort of explaining what he's been seeing in games if it's off the record, things like that, and that does help out as a beat writer. The reality is you just never know what you're going to get, and you know there's certainly been days when he's been very gruff, and you get chewed a little bit for something you write. There's days when he's the Mike Leach you see at Media Day, and he's basically just trying to sell a book. And then there's days when he's this scholar, this person with a very high intellectual, keen interest in really anything. It doesn't have to be history. It doesn't have to be Native Americans. You know, I'm sure he could talk with an airplane mechanic for 6 hours about, you know, how a plane gets off the ground, and he would have a great time doing it, and he would learn a lot. So it's interesting in that you just never know what you're going to get. And some days it's not great. Some days as you guys well know, the coaches aren't in a great mood, and the beat writer is the first person they see who they can, you know, flex their muscles at a little bit. But it's certainly never boring, and ultimately I think that that positive alone outweighs any negatives.
Yeah, we've all been there for sure. Well, looking at the Cougars this season, a lot of expectations coming off of last year. They won 9 games, won a bowl game, and then losing to Eastern Washington, I imagine, was just such a downer to start the season. Where is Washington State right now as a football team? Did that season opener maybe reveal some flaws with this team that weren't obvious in the preseason, or was that just kind of a bad game? You know, they lost to Portland State last year. Have Cougar fans kind of learned to just write those off and figure out, well, they'll get it back on track pretty quickly?
Well, this is a team that has a lot of positives going for it. There's a lot of things that really indicate that this was going to be a big season for Washington State. And because of that, the fans, the writers, I think a lot of us sort of overlooked a few glaring structural flaws that they really need to address if they can. And if they can't, then it could be a very long season. You know, it's so tough to look at a team that won 9 games last year, has a first-team all-conference quarterback returning who led them on all these game-winning drives, has his star receivers back, has all of his running backs back, has a better offensive line, has a few playmakers on defense returning. And it's tough not to think, wow, that's a team that could really make a leap, or certainly at least replicate a 9-win season. A 9-win season where, as you say, they didn't even get that win against Portland State. Could have been a 10-win season. But this team really does have some big issues. The depth along the defensive line is very bad right now. They lost 2 all-conference defensive linemen, and they don't really have anyone to replace them. And that's where you're seeing a lot of their issues. The passing game, the secondary is pretty solid, but the passing game has really suffered because if the receivers have all day long to run around, they're going to get open at some point. They've only got two sacks, and both of those came against Eastern. They couldn't get a sack against Boise State, and they couldn't get a sack against Idaho, despite winning by 50 points. So, you know, football teams are very interconnected. Defenses are very interconnected. And when the defensive line's not doing its job, it's tough for the linebackers to get in the backfield, which makes it really tough for the secondary. And that's what you've really seen from this team. On offense, they're putting up some points, but they could be doing a lot better. And I think that's where a lot of Leach's frustration is. He is the offensive coordinator. It's just that there's really no reason they shouldn't be doing better. Falk's back. The wide receivers are back. But I think he thinks they're in their own heads a little bit. Maybe they thought it would be a little too easy coming off of last year's 9-win season because they just they're not blocking very well on the edges. The screen passes that went for 20 yards every time last year are going for 2 yards this year. The running game has had success, but they haven't broken the game open. They've done a great job of getting to the red zone, and then they've been very bad in the red zone. And I think a lot of statisticians would tell you, well, there's some reversion to the mean happening there. They seem to hit on every goal line fade last year. This year, some of those aren't hitting. They've lost two games by 3 points, and in both games they missed a field goal that they should have made. So it's a year where seemingly everything is going wrong, and in that regard, coming off a year where seemingly everything's going right. And so, you know, both years the team probably was somewhere in the middle. They weren't as good as they looked last year. They're not as bad as they looked this year. But when you have that drastic swing from best-case scenario to worst-case scenario, it can be pretty jarring to an observer.
Well, when you look at the recent history of this matchup, it's been pretty entertaining. I remember a couple years ago, 3 years ago, the Ducks had their way, but for whatever reason, Mike Leach got under Nick Aliotti's skin, and he had a little post-game meltdown. And then 2 years ago, they pressured Marcus Mariota relentlessly, and only a player of his caliber was able to pull that game out. Obviously, last year, Washington State wins in double overtime to snap an eight-game losing streak. What are you expecting this year now that I guess both teams are kind of in must-win mode right now?
Well, I'm expecting another very tense game, particularly because I think both fan bases are more stressed than anything right now. I think, if the Ducks were to lose this game, as you guys well know, then they've got a matchup against Washington coming up. That's a pretty good team. And if they were to lose at Washington State and then have their streak against the Huskies in it, I would maybe start talking to some real estate agents if I was Coach Helfrich. Whereas, as I said earlier, Washington State, they need this win just to prevent themselves from digging too big of a hole. You know, I mean, if they can reel off a bunch of wins in October, that's great, and they'll have a great season. But that is a brutal stretch for them. They've got a tough schedule, and this seems like a winnable game. So if you just want to do the math and figure, okay, so let's get this team to 6 wins in the postseason, this is a game you probably need to include there, barring some major upsets down the road. As you said, these teams always seem to play each other tight, and there's always some storylines going on. That game where Aliotti went off after the game, Connor Halliday passed 89 times, and that was just something to see. Like you said, the next year they come up here. Most Washington State fans felt like their final drive was cut short because of a pass interference that should have been called. I'm certainly expecting another really close game. I'm sure we'll be freaking out on deadline. And, it'll probably come right back down to it. And whichever fan base loses is really going to be reeling for that weekend.
Yeah. Well, we'll hope for fewer than 89 passes on the 6:30 p.m. start this week. And we'll hope for more drama, which usually is guaranteed when these teams play. So, Jacob, thank you for your time and your insights. Good to catch up with you. We look forward to getting back to the Palouse this weekend, and we'll see you in the press box on Saturday.
My pleasure. Let me know when you guys are in town.